Perhaps you've heard we're meant to do a special, like a type of seminar, historical type of seminar, about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the very close associates and servants of Lord Chaitanya. So, well, let us begin. Let us begin. I will. Well, do you want to sing Jai Radha Madhava? The devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. So nice to see you again after too long a time. It's terrible. But at least we're here. So yes, as we said, we're going to do a little like biographical type of seminar on the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. A very, very great devotees and very close associates of Lord Chaitanya. Yes, so we're doing this having just returned a few hours ago from Tirupati. Perhaps some of you have been there. South India, you been there? It's an interesting place. Sort of a different dimension in many ways. So yes, we left there yesterday at 3:30 in the afternoon. Well, we left the temple at 3:30. And we arrived here at 3:30 today. Of course, 3.5 hours to Windsor. It's about 27 hours on the road. But it's worth it to get the association of all you nice devotees. So let us begin. We have 4 days. Today, tomorrow, Sunday, of course, then Monday evening and Tuesday evening. Try and come each time. Tonight, well, we'll begin by giving a little background, and then we'll focus on Srila Sanatan Goswami, who was not really the chief of the six Goswamis, but he was the most senior, the eldest. To begin, though, let us read a verse. It is the verse which appears right at the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, which was written by, originally at least, by Srila Rupa Goswami, the younger brother of Sanatan, and which Prabhupada published, translated and published as the Nectar of Devotion. So there's a dedication right at the very, very beginning. It is a verse from a song by Srinivas Acharya, another one of the very great devotees in our line. What would you say, 2 generations after Sanatan and Rupa? So he wrote a song, Srinivas Acharya wrote a song, Shad Goswami Astakam. 8 verses, actually there's 9 verses glorifying the six Goswamis. So Srila Prabhupada quotes one of those verses as the dedication for Nectar of Devotion. I'll read that. Nana Shastra Vacharanai Kanipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam hitakar vino tribuvane manyo sharanya karo Radha Krishna padara vinda bhajana nandena mataliko vande rupa sanatano raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they're worth taking shelter of, because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, yes, little background, little historical background. Lord Chaitanya, of course, is Krishna himself in person. He's not, you know, if we want to get slightly technical about it, he is not even an expansion from Krishna, like Lord Nrsingadev, for example. Kurma Varaha Vamana Narayan Vishnu. These are all expansions from Krishna. But now here we have Lord Chaitanya. He is actually Krishna himself in person, just adopted a different form. But otherwise he's completely Krishna himself. Plus, Krishna plus Srimati Radharani. As the verse says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. That Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, is none other than the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Of course, that's the subject for another seminar. But Lord Krishna, he appeared here 5,000 years ago. He spoke Bhagavad Gita, which, of course, we read from very regularly. So he was here for some time, re-establishing the principles of religion and helping the devotees, protecting the devotees. But then he left. But he felt, after he had already left, he felt, I didn't do enough to give the people, you could say, access to himself, to Krishna. It was all a little hidden, covered, not so very vividly and clearly obvious. So Krishna felt he had to come again and just make it more obvious, be much more explicit and open about his message and about helping the people to get out of their terrible entanglements in this material world, so they can go back to Godhead, go back to the kingdom of God, and leave this place which looks like our home. People think this is our home, this is where we belong. But it's not our home. It's an unnatural place. And because it's an unnatural place, then naturally it doesn't work well. Life in this world that really doesn't work very well? Where are the happy, happy people? There are many people trying to become happy, but where are the ones who are really happy? And even if someone is happy, but then death comes, and whatever you achieved is just lost. So Lord Krishna was feeling a little bad, actually, that he didn't make it more obvious and clear and just give people a much greater opportunity to come back to him. So then he reappeared. He came again as Lord Chaitanya, combined with Radharani, two in one. Very interesting. Two people in one body. And then he really went out of his way to distribute Krishna consciousness, knowledge of himself, making it clear how to approach him, what you must do in order to approach him, all these types of things. So when Lord Krishna appeared then 5,000 years ago, so many of his associates came with him from there, the spiritual world, when Krishna appeared. For example, Balaram, who is Krishna's first expansion. You may recall a few minutes ago, we distinguished between Krishna himself and those forms of the Lord who are just expanded from himself. So for example, Lord Balaram came, then different devotees from Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani came, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, the gopis, manjaris, all these very close associates and servants of Lord Krishna, they came with him 5,000 years ago. So then Krishna, like we said, feeling there's a need to make it more clear, when Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, plus or minus 500 years ago, they all came also. They all came again. Lord Balaram came as Lord Nityananda, just as an example. Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, the parents of Krishna, they also came as Mother Sachi and Jagannatha Mishra, the parents of Lord Chaitanya. And so many came. If you go through certain of the chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll find lists of who was in Krishna Leela, but then they appeared again in Chaitanya Leela also, but of course in different forms. So just as one example, very important example, is there's a devotee of Lord Chaitanya named Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy, he was, what would you say, how would you put it? He was like a, he was a constant companion, basically, of Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya was feeling separation, he was sort of like a foil, if you know what I mean. When Lord Chaitanya, particularly in the later years, he was present on the planet in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya, in the mood of Radharani, was feeling great separation from Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya, yes, in the mood of Radharani. So, Ramananda Roy was always there and always comforting Lord Chaitanya and helping him to appreciate that actually Krishna is here. We may not be able to see him, you know, exactly like we're seeing each other right now, but still he's here. We just have to tune in, and then we'll become aware that, oh, he is present, actually. So, yes. So Ramananda Roy, that's what he did. He was constantly reminding Lord Chaitanya that Krishna's here and pacifying him when he was feeling great feelings of separation from Krishna. So as it happens, Ramananda Roy is Lalita from Krishna Leela. Lalita is the closest associate of Radharani. There are 8 main female associates of Radharani, and she, Lalita, is the first. And when Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya, then Lalita appeared also, but in a form which sort of fit in with how things were going to be at that time, 500 years ago. Yes, comforting Lord Chaitanya means comforting Radharani in effect. But of course, Lord Chaitanya is in a male form, so Lalita took externally a male form to do basically the same type of service for Krishna as in his form as Lord Chaitanya. So now the 6 Goswamis, where do they fit into that sort of scheme of things? It's a bit on the esoteric side, of course. So the 6 Goswamis, they are all manjaris in Krishna Leela. We mentioned Rupa Goswami was the chief. In Krishna Leela, he is Rupa Manjari. Sanatan Goswami is Rati Manjari or Lavanga Manjari. And the other of the 6 Goswamis, the other 4, they're different Manjaris. And the Manjaris, they also have very intimate, very close relationships with Radha and Krishna, particularly assisting Radharani when she meets Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but in the mood of Radharani. So often, when Lord Chaitanya expresses himself, you could say, it is Radharani speaking. Yes, so the interesting, and this is really a very esoteric point. When Radha and Krishna are meeting for their conjugal pastimes, the 8 main girlfriends of Radharani, they're called the Astasakis. The Astasakis, they leave them. They leave Radha and Krishna to just have their pastimes together. But the Manjaris, who are younger girls, like the age of some of you girls, you're a bit too old, Draupadi. But some of the other girls, yeah, that sort of age, they're younger, and they stay and assist Radha and Krishna. So in a certain sense, they have a clearer understanding and certainly more experience in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, particularly at their sort of closest points. So therefore, the 6 Goswamis, you know, even though you've got someone like Ramananda Roy, who's Lalita and who is with Lord Chaitanya every day for years and years, And the six Goswamis, we call them the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, because they were not with Lord Chaitanya. Most, the great majority of the time, they were in Vrindavan. But even though Ramananda Roy is so close to Lord Chaitanya doing such intimate and close service, that the six Goswamis are accepted as being the most important associates. And because they understand so clearly, so deeply, who is Lord Chaitanya, what is his mission, who is he, how he feels, they were best in the position to then write about these things. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness, because they have this closest perspective. So, yeah. Lord Chaitanya himself only wrote 8 verses. The Shikshastika. He only wrote 8 short verses. It takes 2 or 3 minutes or 5 at the very most to recite them. The six Goswamis wrote hundreds of thousands of verses. Hundreds of thousands. Jiva Goswami, who was the most prolific amongst them as an author, he wrote 400,000 verses. All describing about who is Krishna, who is Radharani, what is the process for approaching them. Yeah. So that was like the mission of the six Goswamis. They were sent to Vrindavan by Lord Chaitanya, each one of them at different times. Each one of them at different times was sent to Vrindavan by Lord Chaitanya personally, with the mission, 2 missions. Uncovering the sacred places of Vrindavan, Krishna's pastime places, and writing all about Krishna and the science of Krishna consciousness. How to do it, what not to do. It is deep. It really is deep. So, devotees, let us now just launch into it. Fasten your seat belts. First of all, okay. So, Rupa and Sanatana brothers, Sanatana's the older brother, Rupa's 5 years younger. Sanatana was born in 1488. Lord Chaitanya appeared in 1486. So Sanatana's 2 years younger than Lord Chaitanya. They're born in a great devotee family in Bengal. And they were like geniuses, very brilliant young men, and then they grew up and they were just so outstanding that the Muslim ruler of Bengal, Nawab Hussain Shah, he heard about them and decided they must come and work for him. So he made them what you might call an offer you cannot refuse. That you, Sanatan, you can become the prime minister, and Rupa, well, their names were, that those, Rupa and Sanatan are their initiated names. They're initiated by Lord Chaitanya personally. Before that, they had different names. Amara and Santosh. So yeah, he made them an offer that they couldn't refuse. That, yes, you please come. Who would be Sanatan in time? You become Prime Minister, and who would become Rupa later, you become Minister of Finance. And, you know, it's up to you. I'm offering you. But just know, if you refuse, I will just kill all your families. So, what do you think? So they took up those posts. And they were basically running the government of Bengal for a number of years. Until, you know, it's a bit of a long story. In Krishna consciousness, we have many long stories. But eventually they met Lord Chaitanya. They had heard of Lord Chaitanya. He was a well-known figure. But eventually they met him. And when they met him, they became so inspired, they just decided, that's it, we're done with this government business and the Nawab. Just, you know, we're going to join Lord Chaitanya. So Rupa, in fact, he just disappeared immediately and just was gone. Sanatan, the Prime Minister, he felt he couldn't just go. We won't go into all the details. We could easily have a seminar just on Sanatan Goswami. But by very tricky means, he bribed the jailkeeper, got out, and a little later, like a month or maybe 6 weeks later, he escaped. And then he met Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya at that time was on the way to Vrindavan. Sanatan met Lord Chaitanya at Varanasi. In Varanasi. And Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatan Goswami for 1 month. Every day for 1 month. And those instructions, if you're familiar with Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are from, what is it, I think, Madhyalila chapter 20 to 25. That's the summary of Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Sanatan Goswami. Very detailed descriptions, teachings about just anything you can think of about Krishna consciousness. And many things that we cannot think of. So, let's see now. So again, like we said, long story. Here's an interesting little point. Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, then returned to Puri, because he was based in Puri. Sanatan Goswami went, after meeting him at Varanasi, several months, he went and joined Lord Chaitanya in Puri and spent a year with him. When Sanatan Goswami, when he was on his way to Puri from Vrindavan, he was in such anxiety and in such a hurry. He was really negligent about his health. Because in those days, there was no spice jet. We flew yesterday from Tirupati to Hyderabad on spice jet. and 10 days or something before we flew from Hyderabad to Tirupati on IndiGo, there was no SpiceJet. There was no IndiGo. There wasn't even Air India. So, and there wasn't even a train. You couldn't catch a train. If you wanted to go anywhere, you had to walk. So he walked from Vrindavan to Puri. It is plus or minus, at least as the crow flies, it's plus or minus 2,000 kilometers. Yeah. And he ran. Sanan Goswami basically ran. So anxious to meet with Lord Chaitanya. So unfortunately on the way, he was negligent about his bodily condition. As a result, somehow he got a skin condition, open sores all over his body, like oozing sores, very unpleasant, very unpleasant. But he didn't worry. He didn't stop to go to the chemist or to see the doctor. He just carried on until he arrived in Jagannath Puri. So he was there for some months. I mean, he was there for a year, but initially he was there for a couple of months, still with the skin condition, which was very serious. Very serious condition of open oozing sores. And it was so painful and just so bad that he decided, I will commit suicide. How to do that? Well, the Jagannath Rath Yatra festival is coming up shortly. I will go down there and throw myself under the wheels of the chariot and give up this useless, horrible body in just a very auspicious way. So he didn't tell anyone. Didn't tell anyone. He was staying with Haridas Thakur. He didn't even tell him. But this was his resolve within his mind. One day, so he was staying with Haridas Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya would visit them every day. One day, Lord Chaitanya arrived and started speaking to Haridas Thakur about suicide. Yes. Just like, you know, I'm not in favor of suicide, like a general sort of discussion. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, if I thought I could achieve love of God by giving up this body, voluntarily, I would give up hundreds of bodies in minutes if I thought I could achieve love for Krishna in that way. But that is not how we achieve love for Krishna. We achieve love for Krishna by rendering devotional service. So we must do that. And not suicide. This is wrong. It's a wrong thing. And there's Sanatan Goswami hearing this and thinking, wow, has he understood? Has he understood? Or is he just talking about this subject? Then Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas Thakur, he pointed to Sanatan Goswami and said, Haridas, just see this man. He wants to destroy another person's property. And Sanatan realized Lord Chaitanya has understood. And then Lord Chaitanya started speaking to Sanatan that your body belongs to me. It is not really your body. Of Because that's the same for all of us. Our bodies are on loan. And like anything which is loaned from some supplier, if it's just a loan, it must be returned. And these bodies are going to be returned in due course to the supplier, who is the Supreme Lord. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya said to Haridas, just see the character of this man. He wants to destroy someone else's property. That's wrong, isn't it? Somebody has something like a motor car, say, or a house, or just anything. Just some clothes, even. And if some other person comes along and just destroys them, that's wrong. It's just very wrong. And then Lord Chaitanya expanded on that, that Sanatan, there are so many things I want to do through your body. So many goals I want to achieve through your body. And particularly these two we mentioned. Uncovering the pastime places of Krishna in the Vrindavan area, and writing and just elaborately describing Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So in the end, Lord Chaitanya just came out and said, so Sanatan, don't do this. Don't do this. And Sanatan felt really ashamed. And again, it's another one of those little bit long stories, but Lord Chaitanya basically after that embraced him. Despite all the sores and the oozing and all of that, Lord Chaitanya grabbed him and embraced him firmly. And Sanatan was protesting, my Lord, don't do that. My body is too contaminated. But Lord Chaitanya just embraced him. And then after a little while embracing, Lord Chaitanya released him, and Sanatan's body was completely cured. And now his body was like effulgent, like a golden color, due to the embrace of Lord Chaitanya. So anyway, so he stayed there for a year in Puri. Then he went back to Vrindavan. And there's a nice little description, I don't know if I've got it right here, but Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the scene of separation that took place when Sanatan Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took leave of each other is so piteous that it cannot be described herein. The depth of the feelings, the emotions, was just beyond our experience, beyond what to speak of our experience, just beyond our capacity to conceive of. So there in Vrindavan, Sanatan Goswami did many things. Let us tell you some of the things he did. You know, there are the six Goswamis. Each one of them has their own particular personality and nature. And Sanatan Goswami had his personality and nature. Sanatan Goswami was a Parikrama devotee. We are going on Parikrama. We're leaving South Africa on the 1st. I don't know how many of you are coming, but sometimes some of you must come, because it's really just nice. Just super nice. So anyway, this was the program of Siddhartha Goswami, at least a lot of the time. He would simply wander around the greater Vrindavan area. The whole area, you know, there's a town there now, Vrindavan town. It's a moderate-sized town. It's not that big. But then there is like the region, you could say. The region. And devotees, every year we have what we call Vraj Mandala Parikrama. Means devotees walk all around the whole greater Vrindavan area. It takes 1 month to walk around it all. So it's not a small area. So Siddhartha Goswami, that's what he would do. He would just walk around the greater Vrindavan area. Sometimes he'd go around the whole area. Sometimes he'd go, for example, around just certain parts, like, as an example, Govardhan Hill. Sometimes he'd just go around Govardhan Hill. And sometimes he'd go around other places. This is what he was doing a lot of the time. Really a lot. So, devotees, listen. If you're still awake, that's okay. No problem. You know, each of the six Goswamis, pretty much, is well known, among other things. I mean, we mentioned uncovering holy places, writing. But generally, they're also, each one is famous for worshipping a particular deity form of Krishna. Rupa Goswami, for example, worshipped Radha Govinda, who are now in Jaipur. Sanatan Goswami worshipped Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan is now in a place, it's in between Vrindavan and Jaipur, kind of a bit out of the way, but more or less. And it's called Karoli. Karoli. And he's still there. That original deity is still there. So Sanatana Goswami, before he became connected with Madan Mohan, he was just walking around, like we mentioned. One day, he was in a particular area of, we call it the Vraj Mandala, the greater Vrindavan area, Vraj Mandala. So he was going around and he came to Gokula, where Krishna performed his earliest pastime. Like killing Putana and various others, Trinavarta and various others. That all happened in and around Gokula, which is a village in the greater Vraj Mandala. So Sanatana Goswami is walking around and he stopped there at Gokula. He's just relaxing a little bit. And he saw in front of them, there were some boys playing a ball game. Throwing ball back and forth and jumping and running and all, whatever. Playing some sort of ball game. And he's watching them. And then he noticed, one of these boys is really dark skinned. I mean, actually, he's really dark-skinned. Not only is he really dark-skinned, but there is a bluish hue, sort of a tint, to this really dark color that his body is. Because you know, classically the idea like there's the famous name of Krishna, Shyam Sundar. Shyam means black or blackish. Sundar means beautiful. Krishna has a beautiful blackish form. So, yeah, very dark, but with a bluish sort of hue there. And he's, but this boy is just playing around with the other boys. And Sanatan realized, this is Krishna. This is Krishna. But what is Krishna doing? Just running around chasing a ball, playing with village boys. He's Krishna. He's God. He can't just do that. So Sanatana Goswami followed him home. In fact, home was some distance away, actually. Home was in Mathura, which is also within that region. Mathura nowadays is a city. It's a not insubstantial city. I believe 500,000-600,000 people. In those days, of course, it was totally different. So Sanatana Goswami followed him home, and they came to the home, and it was the home of a fairly well-known Brahmin family. The family name was Chobe. So Sanatana Goswami is following him. It's Krishna. It's Madan Mohan, actually. And he went into the house. Sanatana Goswami followed him. And Sanatana Goswami chastised the father, the husband. What are you doing? What are you doing? This is Krishna. You can't just let him run around with the village boys. You don't do that. He's Krishna. He's the Supreme God. You got to put him on an altar and worship him. Do offer arati, offer food. You got to do that. You can't have him running around. This is terrible. So Chobe was highly apologetic and said, well, he likes to do that. But anyway, okay, if you insist. So they put Krishna on the altar, plonk, and told him, just stand there like this. You know? Flute. And just don't move. Don't move till further notice. Which would have been, who knows how many hundreds or thousands of years later. Just stand there. Don't move. Don't move. So there's now Madan Mohan. Krishna is standing there like this. And of course being offered nice food. Deep fried sabji with puri, halava. And we don't want to disturb anyone's taste buds. But yeah, you know, really nice food. So Sanatana Goswami felt good. I've done a good thing today. And off he went to take rest. That night as he was sleeping, Madan Mohan appeared in his dream and said, you know, Sanatana, I'm just standing here. It's so boring. It's so boring. I don't want to stay here. I want to come with you. I want to come with you and walk around Vraj Mandala. So the next morning, Sanatana Goswami went back there to that house, the Chobe family. And the father, the husband father, he had had more or less the same dream. So Sanatana Goswami spoke to Madan Mohan and asked him, so are you sure you want to come with me? Yes. I'm sure. Do you know what is involved in coming with me? I don't care, I just want to come. You know, it's a very austere life out there on the road, just walking around. I don't mind, I just want to come. And we don't get, I don't get very nice food. I don't care, I'll take whatever you offer me. And Sanat said, are you sure? Are you sure you can accept that? And Madan Mohan said, yes, definitely. You just offer me whatever you get, I'll accept it. So Sanat told him, all right, you can come, but if you complain one time, just, you won't get three chances, just one time, I'm bringing you back here to the Chobes. And you can stand on the altar and have deep fried cauliflower with paneer in sour cream sabji with puris. And Madan Mohan said, I'm not going to come. I don't want to be here. I want to go with you. So off they went. And you know, if you've ever, you may not have seen Madan Mohan. He's not a small deity. He's not like a little personal deity you can carry around with you. He's big. He's probably at least 4 feet tall. And in material terms, made of rock, black rock. But somehow or other, Sanat Goswami was taking him around. One time they were at where Vrindavan town now is, on the, what would you say, northern side, where the Yamuna used to flow. Now it's shifted a bit away. But there, on the bank of the Yamuna. So they were there. And Sanat Goswami, for some days, and this is, they'd been on parikrama together for some time. But now for some days, Sanat Goswami, whenever he'd go out to beg food, he wouldn't get much. And that one particular day, all he got was some flour. Some flour. That's all. So, Sanat Goswami then made a particular type of bread. It is called bati. They call it bati. Bati means you make a ball of dough and it's just flour and water. And so you make balls and then you make a fire and you throw those dough balls into the fire and leave them for a while. And then when you take, because they've been right in the fire, when you take them out, they're burnt. They're burnt. They're black. So then you break the crust off. And in the middle, you get a smaller little bread ball, and that's bati. Yeah. So Sanat Goswami, that's all he got, some flour. Then he took some Yamuna water because the Yamuna was right nearby. And he made some bati. And he offered them to Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan picked up the bati and looked at it. And took a nibble. And said, you know, Sanatan, can't I at least have some salt with my bati? And Sanat Goswami said, I knew you would complain. I knew you'd complain sooner or later. So I'm taking you back to the Chobe in Mathura. We are going back there. But Mother Mohan said, no. I don't want to go back there. I'll take my butty with no salt. I just want to go on with you. Yeah. When Sunan Goswami was traveling around, then, let's see, yes. So he was traveling around, as we said, and going village to village. So they're very beautiful descriptions of what would happen when he arrived in each village, how he'd be received. So after this is now quoting from a historical literature called Bhakti Ratnakara. After staying in one town, when Sanatan would go to another town, the people would follow behind him. Whether a young boy or old man, whoever it was, all would lose their patience and cry as Sanatan would leave. Sanatan himself would shed tears as he pacified them and sent them back to their homes. Only after they all stopped crying and returned to their houses would Sanatan leave for the next village. So then when Sanatan was approaching the next village and the people would see, look, here he comes. Here comes Sanatan. He's returned. So the word would go out. They were not using WhatsApp. Do you know what is WhatsApp? Oh, you do. You know what's... Do you know what is WhatsApp? Oh, you do also. Okay. No WhatsApp. But the word would just go around the village. And within a matter of minutes, the village would stop. The farmers, you know, they're mainly farming community. They would just stop. You know, plowing the fields or doing whatever. The business, the shopkeepers would just shut their shops. The schools would just close down. The ladies would just leave their cooking. The whole village would stop. And everyone would come out and greet Sanatan Goswami. Just as a poor man experiences unlimited happiness if he suddenly obtains a valuable jewel, so the bridge busis felt unlimited happiness by seeing Sanatan. So the old people, they would treat Sanatan as their son. My dear son, how did you spend so much time away from us? How did you forget us? Thinking about you, we almost died. Then those who are of a similar age would come and greet him. My dear brother, where have you been? You must have forgotten us completely. Tears pouring from their eyes, the children would come, offer obeisances, touch his feet. Very amazing greeting. Then they would go to the village meeting place, you know, because he's walked from one village, and after some, you know, difficulty, he has left that previous village, and now he's arrived in the next village. So it's probably now afternoon sometime. So the village stops. They all go to the village meeting place. And then the program starts. First of all, kirtan. And then Sanat Goswami would give a class. Through till maybe midnight. Would you like that? We'll have a Sanatan Goswami night. We'll just go through the whole night. So after the class was personal darshans, personal meetings. So Sanatan would affectionately inquire from everyone about their well-being. He knew every single one of them. Thousands in all the different villages. He knew each one personally. And he would ask, so, and he knew from the, he would remember from the previous time, what was that person's situation the previous time, a year or whenever ago. So he would ask, so, did you get your daughter married? Did that cow of yours give birth to a calf? And you were trying some new crop. How did it come out? All these things, he would question them. He knew them, whether they were married, what were their names, what was their education, how many cows and bulls they had. How much grains they've been producing. What was their daily routine? So then, early in the morning, the feast would happen. They'd bring dairy products of different types and all sorts of things and feed Sanatan Goswami. And they would also take prasad. Having been up the whole night. And then he would leave. Unless it was a bigger village, in which case he would not leave until the following day. So this was his program. In other words, he wasn't sleeping. No sleeping. So, yes, when he would leave the village, everyone would just cry and cry. Who can describe the affectionate dealings of Sanatan Goswami? Yeah, so this was his program, basically. This was his program. We'll tell you one or two more stories. What time should we finish? 10? 11? Before 11. What time?
Whatever is convenient.
Oh, okay. Before 11. Actually, there are many. We could just do simply something about Sanatan Goswami. I'll tell you another couple of stories.
8:30.
Okay. This is a very interesting story. Jiva Goswami, who was like a disciple of Rupa Goswami and his nephew, they were living in northern Vrajmandala by the Yamuna. It's called Nandagat. And Rupa Goswami was writing, and they would discuss what he was writing. and Jiva would serve him. So one day, one famous scholar, big pukka Brahmin, pundit scholar, who had a really high opinion of himself, came and visited them at Nandagat. And he picked up one of the manuscripts, something Rupa was writing, and he looked at it, and he started pointing out what he thought were faults. And Rupa Goswami, very humble, you know, when the devotee is, people are finding fault with the devotee, in so many cases, at least an advanced devotee will not protest that, you know, why are you criticizing me like this or like that? You're just, you know, accepted as mercy. So Rupa Goswami was not saying anything. Jiva was there and he was listening. And he was thinking, yeah, this person's suggestions are wrong. He's saying that Rupa Goswami said that, but it would be better to say it in a different way. But it's not true. The way Rupa Goswami said it was the best way. So the fellow, after a while, that scholar, he suggested, he offered, you know, maybe I can edit your books. You write a book, you send it to me, I'll correct it. And Rupa said, oh, thank you so much, you're so helpful. And Jiva thought, what a, we will not say, what a murk. And he, what a fool, what a rascal. How dare he say things like that? So then Rupa said, you know, we're going to have lunch just now. Why don't you go down to the river, take bath. My disciple Jiva will take you and bring you back, and then we'll have lunch together. So the scholar, his name was Vallabhabhatta, off he went with Jiva down towards the river. On the way, Jiva started saying, you know, you said, well, Rupa Goswami said like this, but then you said it should be changed to that, some other thing. You followed the idea. But actually what you said was wrong. It was better the way he had written it before, and then Jiva explained why it was better the way it had been previously, just directly from Rupa Goswami. And the scholar, he was like, whoa, really? Okay, yeah, well, you've got a point. But there were quite a number of points. And Jiva Goswami, progressively from one point to another, he was speaking more strongly and heavily. And Vallabhabhatta, you know, people never treated him like that. Because he's big, respected pundit scholar. But so he became just blown away by these heavy, and eventually heavy chastisements from young Jiva. So they took bath and came back. And Rupa Goswami said, okay, please sit down now. We'll have lunch. And Vallabhabhatta said, forget it. I'm not staying here. I'm going. This nephew of yours, this disciple of yours is too heavy. He's too much. I'm going. And off he went. And Rupa became very upset with Jiva. What have you done with this man? He was offering to help me. And now you've chased him away? This is bad. This is terrible. And Rupa Goswami told Jiva Goswami, get out of Vrindavan. You can't stay in Vrindavan. You're just too uncouth. He told him actually, go back to Bengal. until you learn some manners, then you can come back. So off went Jiva Goswami. Now they're in northern Vrajmandala. He had to go right through Vrajmandala to, you know, following the Yamuna, which goes, I mean, eventually joins the Ganges and goes through Bengal. But he was, Jiva Goswami, was just too disturbed. Because he knew that what he had said was right. And he was just trying to serve his spiritual master. But now it had come to this. So he was feeling like hopeless. What to do? What could be done? So he's walking through Vrajmandala and it became too much. He felt he couldn't continue. And he decided, he found a crocodile hole on the bank of the Yamuna and decided, I will sit there, chant Hare Krishna, and fast to death. That's what I'm going to do. So that's what he started doing. And the village people, because, you know, their village is sort of all over Vrajmandala. So the local people, they saw, oh, look at this. Here's this young boy, young sannyasi, and he seems deeply disturbed. And it looks like, and we offer him food he won't accept. Looks like he's fasting to death. What to do? So you know what happened, devotees? Take a guess what happened. Sanatan Goswami came around on parikrama. Yes. He came through that area. And the local people told him, you know, there's this young sannyasi, you've got to help him. He's going to die. He's too disturbed. So Sanatan went down and found, oh, it's Jiva, who is his nephew, actually. The son of, there was a third brother, Rupa Sanatan, and a devotee called Anupam. So the son of Anupam. Here's my nephew, and look at him. So then Jiva explained what had happened. And Sanatan Goswami, he decided, okay, let us solve this problem here. So he went to Rupa Goswami. And he didn't just say to him, hey, listen, give him a break. Take it easy. He's just a young fellow. No, don't be so tough with him. No, in a very delicate way, because he had been prime minister. And when you're prime minister, then you can say things nicely. So very nicely, he started speaking to Rupa Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami said, you remember Lord Chaitanya told us. Remember what he told us? He told us, Nama Kirtan. We must chant the holy names. And Rupa said, yes, you're right. Nama Kirtan. We must have some Kirtan. That's wonderful. And Sanatan said, yes. And you remember Lord Chaitanya told us, Bhagavat Shravan. We must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And Rupa said, yes, Bhagavatam, we must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That's wonderful. Great, let's do it. Well, there are three, in one place, there are three instructions Lord Chaitanya gave. Namakirtan, Jivadaya, Bhagavat Shravan. Namakirtan, chanting the holy names. Jivadaya, being mercy to the jivas, the living entities, and Bhagavat Shravan, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, okay, Bhagavat Shravan, we must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami is inspired. And then Siddhartha Goswami said, and you remember, Lord Chaitanya told us, Jiva Daya. You remember he told us that. We must be merciful to the Jivas. And Rupa said, yes, Jiva Daya, we must be merciful to the Jivas and give them Krishna consciousness. And Siddhartha Goswami said, yes, yes. And I know one Jiva. And he needs your mercy. And Rupa understood, oh, I see, okay. So then Sanatan brought Jiva back. And they were reconciled and reunited. This is Sanatan Goswami. Very special transcendental personality. So, devotees, what now? Devotees of the Lord. Yes. So we have another 2 minutes. And we will tell you one more pastime. Is that okay?
No.
Which will take more than 2 minutes. It's a pastime involving Sanatana Goswami. Although on the immediate level it's Rupa Goswami, but it's ultimately Sanatan Goswami. And it's pretty amazing. And it's about offenses to devotees, even offenses committed unknowingly, or even you didn't even do anything offensive. But someone just feels offended by you, somehow. People's minds sometimes is like that. You may have been nice, but they think that you are being offensive. It happens. So this is also from Bhakti Ratnakara. And I'm going to read a couple of verses and then tell you the story. And then a concluding couple of verses. Please be always careful in your dealings with the devotees. Let not ill feelings arise towards you in the devotees' hearts. If the devotees think ill of you, that will be a great impediment to your progress. Now I will tell an anecdote to reveal this truth. So the anecdote, the story is that Srila Rupa Goswami was sitting somewhere in Vrindavan area chanting. But when he would chant, unlike us, when we chant, his mind would not wander here and there and think about this and that. And what am I going to do today? And what did I do yesterday? And what would I like to do? And what, you know, all these things that may enter our minds. He would become so absorbed. He would enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I mean, internally, his consciousness. Although his body, of course, was just sitting there chanting. That he would lose external consciousness. And he could just be sitting there looking at you, but he's not seeing you. Because there's no external consciousness. So Rupa Goswami, he was in that state. And in fact, he was in a pastime of Radha and Krishna, in which Radharani was being decorated secretly to meet Krishna. Secretly, so he didn't know, you know, what the decorations were and all that. Until she came out and came in front of him. So, but Krishna found out that this was going on. And therefore Krishna came sneaking up behind. And took over the decoration and everything of Radharani has a single long braid, like a ponytail sort of thing, right down her back. So one of the manjaris was, you know, combing and doing whatever and putting flowers and decorating the braid of hair. Krishna came unseen by Radharani and took over and told the gopis, just carry on. Life is just as usual. So they didn't, react to Krishna's arrival. And now he's decorating the hair of Radharani and touching her hair and sometimes her head. And when Krishna does that, then Radharani gets amazing transcendental feelings. And so Radharani now is saying, oh, you're thinking it's one of the gopis. Oh, you're doing it so nicely. Oh, thank you. Oh, this is very nice. I really like this. But it was Krishna. And then everything was finished, and Radharani wanted to see how she looked. So she took a mirror and lifted the mirror up. And what did she see?
Krishna.
Behind her is Krishna. And everyone roared with laughter. And Rupa Goswami, who was there in his form as Rupa Manjari, laughed, roared with laughter. And Rupa Goswami's body, as Rupa Goswami, sitting there chanting japa, laughed. Really laughed. At that moment, one elderly, sort of like partially handicapped physically, devotee, was approaching Rupa Goswami. Walking along the path and saw, there's Rupa Goswami. Oh, he's looking right at me. He's looking right at me. But he didn't know that Rupa Goswami was not externally conscious. So the elderly Vaishnava is approaching him. And Rupa Goswami is sort of staring at him. And suddenly Rupa Goswami roared with laughter. And the elderly devotee thought, oh no, he's laughing at me. What have I done? I've done something stupid. Oh no, what have I done? And he became bewildered. He didn't know what to do. Then he thought, I know. I'll go and ask Sanatan Goswami. What have I done wrong? What can I do to correct myself? And off he went. At that moment, Rupa Goswami suddenly found he was back in external consciousness. He didn't know how it had happened. It was almost like he was thrown back into like regular external consciousness. It hadn't happened before. They thought, wow, what was that? And no problem, I will chant and go back in to that sort of trance state. But he couldn't. He chanted, but he couldn't enter that state again. He said, well, something has gone wrong. I have done something. Maybe I offended someone. What to do? I know. What to do? What to do? I'll go and ask Sanatan Goswami. So off he went also. Sanatan Goswami was sort of just around the corner, very nearby. So Rupa Goswami arrived, and there was the elderly Vaishnav talking with Sanatan there, conversing. And Rupa didn't know that this elderly Vaishnava's involved in this situation. So he came and explained to Sanatan Goswami what happened to him. And Sanatan understood, as the result of it's not even an offense, but just of the devotee feeling offended by something which was not even an offense at all. But there's been an effect on Rupa Goswami. So like this, Sanatan Goswami explained everything to both of them. They both understood the situation. The elderly Vaishnava understood that Rupa was in trance in Vrindavan with Radha and Krishna. That's why he laughed. Rupa understood how he had lost his meditation. So Sanatan Goswami reconciled them and reunited them. And they were very happy. But there's such a lesson. Listen to this. Everyone heard of this incident with Srila Rupa Goswami. Hearing of it, everyone became filled with wonder. Oh, my brothers and sisters, please be very careful in dealing with the Vaishnavas. Give them even your very breath so they will forgive your offense. Be careful. Do not see a Vaishnava's faults. Always praise the Vaishnavas. The ancient great devotees say, no one understands the ways of a Vaishnava. Through his dear devotees, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya has taught this truth to us. Hold the devotees' lotus feet to your head and always dive in the nectar of pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Srila Sanatan Goswami ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. ISKCON Port Elizabeth Yatra King. Go Premanandi. So Svetadik Prabhu Ki Arive, what to do? There's a few questions.
Adama.
Not a problem. Tomorrow.
We can do the
Damodar
prayer
in the morning. Oh, okay. So, okay, let's stand up for the Damodar prayer.